Good morning. All right. The Education Committee will come to order. And Senator Dibble, we are working on Senate File 971. And we're going to pick up where we left off. I believe Mr. Pritchard is here. And we'll jump in with some additional testimony. We have several people yet to testify, so welcome. I have to excuse my voice.
It's fine.
One of the unfortunate.
Mr. Chairman, I have some handouts.
Okay, we'll hand those out and Good morning.
Welcome, Mr. Chair. Thank you for allowing me to testify. My name is Tom Pritchard. I'm president of the Minnesota Family Council. And we want to speak in opposition to this bill. We want to first of all state that we strongly condemn all bullying, and we support the current law, which we feel is very clear and comprehensive in terms of addressing intimidation and bullying in all forms, including but not limited to electronic forms. And I think that's a very important policy. I don't think anybody here hasn't been subject to bullying and know how devastating that can be in an individual's life. But our concern with this bill are multiple. First of all, we believe that this will give, by identifying and singling out sexual orientation and gender identity or expression, you're giving special preference and status to particular groups of people. I think we need to realize that sexual orientation encompasses homosexuals, bisexuals, among others, cross-dressing, transvestites, people have sex change operations, all sorts of categories. So we need to realize what we're giving explicit recognition to. And we're concerned that this bill will be used as a leverage to promote not just addressing bullying, but a particular social agenda, social engineering in the schools. There is a media report where it quoted a supporter of the legislation as saying that this would give homosexual activists, quote, leverage with school districts. And so we're very concerned how this will be used. We believe that this will give a pretext for bringing in homosexual-oriented anti-bullying curriculum. And this is where we have concerns with what's already happening in the community. There's a curriculum that's put out by the Human Rights Campaign, a national gay lobby group, called Welcoming Schools. Under the pretext of anti-bullying, it encompasses much more than that. It encompasses acceptance and normalization of a homosexual marriage, alternative gender roles, and unhealthy sexual behaviors. And that's why we're concerned. We look at the sponsors of this or the supporters of this legislation. I just handed out a sheet by one of the groups, the Rainbow Families, and this is what they support. They not only support the legislation, but what they want to see happen in the schools. And just a couple points I would make here. They encourage elimination of mother and father. On the second side, they talk about mom and dad shouldn't be referenced. They encourage the infusion of GLBT topics in curriculum. And so we're very concerned about that, that this is the sort of curriculum that, frankly, the advocates of this bill want to see implemented. So it goes beyond bullying, and I think we have to understand that. And we believe it'll result in the indoctrination and intimidation of students and school officials who object to homosexuality, who believe it is not healthy and should not be promoted. We've seen this. I got a call recently from a teacher who had to sit through a teacher education program. I believe it was run by Rainbow Families, where they were trying to delve into the teacher's attitudes on or beliefs regarding same-sex marriage. And this teacher felt pressured and encouraged to change their beliefs regarding homosexual marriage, and the teacher and others felt very uncomfortable with that. We believe that this legislation will only encourage that, because in the legislation there'll be a requirement for training for teachers on these particular categories, and specifically the one we're referencing is sexual orientation. And there'll be a requirement that there'll be a process developed for educating students on the policy. And it opens up the door for the state to then mandate particular curriculums. It says, shall address requirements under Subdivision 1, shall address the requirements of Subdivision 2, and may encourage violence prevention and character development education programs. So we see that this is going to provide a lever for promoting these in the particular school districts. Another concern is we believe that this proposal conflicts with existing state policy regarding homosexuality in the public schools. Section 363 of the Human Rights Statute says, nothing in this chapter shall be construed to authorize or permit the promotion of homosexuality or bisexuality in education institutions or require the teaching in education institutions of homosexual or bisexuality as an acceptable lifestyle. And what's happening with this legislation is they are taking some of the categories out of the Human Rights Statute and now putting them in the Education Statute. And we feel that that was not the intention of the Human Rights Statute, and yet that's what's being done with this legislation. We believe this is a major policy change and injects a significant degree of controversy into the issue of bullying by singling out specific groups of people who are given specific special preference. And we believe that this will only increase conflict and acrimony in our schools. Frustrated parents, teachers, and students are already seeing this push for not just addressing bullying, which I want to reemphasize for some of the members who just came in. We strongly oppose all bullying, but we believe it crosses the line when it begins to advocate and promote acceptance of particular behaviors and lifestyles which are unhealthy and conflict with parental beliefs. And yet that's what we see this legislation is moving towards. So with that, I just want to encourage you to not support this legislation. And we'll be glad to work with individuals who want to help strengthen our anti-bullying laws. We feel the language in the current law is more than adequate because it addresses bullying across the board. But when you start singling out groups and what the advocates have said, what they want to do with this legislation, gives us great concern. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Pritchard. Any questions? All right. Thank you. Next we have Ms. Rose, Jill Rose. Is she here? Please give your name for the record.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Jill Rose. I'm a parent of two elementary age children in Minneapolis. First, I want to affirm that I also oppose all bullying and harassment of all children for any reasons. I teach my children to respect and value all people, even those that we don't agree with. Our family was at Hale Elementary School in Minneapolis, which is a K through 4 school, last year when the HRC's Human Rights Campaign's Welcoming School Anti-Bullying Pilot Curriculum was being introduced. My experience with the Welcoming Schools curriculum has made me realize how the Safe Schools for All Bill, SF 971, can be used to bring our experience at Hale Elementary School statewide. I say this because the language of this bill explicitly identifies sexual orientation and gender identity and then requires training for teachers and a process for educating children on the policy. It also encourages the development of educational programs for children. Well, an example of the sort of school training educational programs to address gender orientation and gender identity sexual orientation and gender identity can be found at Hale Elementary School in the Welcoming Schools curriculum, which is actually just starting this week in Minneapolis. I don't need to speak to any hypothetical issues with the bill. I can speak to my personal experience as a parent with a curriculum that I believe is designed to address the same issues that this bill is designed to address. Purportedly bullying and name-calling of GLB students or children from GLBT families. The Human Rights Campaign, which is the largest GLBT lobby group in the U.S., is the creator of the Welcoming Schools curriculum that is specifically targeted to young children starting in kindergarten and going through fifth grade. Welcoming Schools has been promoted as an anti-bullying curriculum and a bullying prevention curriculum. But meeting curriculum objectives encompasses much more than teaching acceptance, kindness, and respect. It means that a child will, among other things, develop, quote, new understandings of the diversity of families, explore stereotypes they hold about families, and then be told there are no wrong families. First through third grade children, in an exercise, will be given packets of photographs of individuals and be instructed by their teacher to create some families with adults of the same gender, and then be told by their teachers that there are no right answers. Also, young children will be guided to discuss gender stereotypes using traditional fairy tales such as Sleeping Beauty, and then to expand their notions of gender-appropriate behavior through non-traditional fairy tales such as King and King, in which a prince decides to marry another prince. All of this re-education of kindergarten through fifth grade children is done in the name of anti-bullying. Some of the same GLBT advocacy groups that are involved in bringing Welcoming Schools curriculum to Hale authored the Safe Schools for All bill. I'm very concerned about SF 971 because I believe it will be used to take what is happening at Hale statewide. I believe calling out any specific groups in this bill and then the requirement of training and a process for educating students will be used to promote curricula from special interest groups like Welcoming Schools. This curriculum does not seek to address all forms of bullying, but rather seeks to instruct or reshape elementary school students on GLBT issues such as homosexual marriage and gender identity. As a parent, I want to see Minnesota schools reinforce character qualities like love, honesty, and respect for all children and all people. And I think the law should be there to introduce children, or I don't think the law should be there to introduce children to gay marriage and to transgender issues. I don't believe adoption of this bill will reduce bullying of anyone, and sadly, if anything, I fear it could increase it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Rose. Any questions that committee members have? Is it Chaudhry? Welcome. If you could give your name for the record, please.
My name is Leslie Chaudhry. I'm the parent of three children, two of whom are school age, and we live in the Minneapolis School District. I would also like to start by saying that I'm all for schools making efforts to change the school climate to being a positive environment for all children. My own child was bullied both physically and verbally at school. My daughter suffered through a series of incidents, and I'm saying this to show that I understand the emotional distress that bullying can cause. And I agree that the goal should be to stop bullying. But that's not really what SF 971 bill is all about. And I believe my experience at Hale Elementary School only heightens my concerns about this. Last year, the Minneapolis School District introduced the Welcoming Schools curriculum, a curriculum created by the Human Rights Campaign, which is a GLBT political organization. And the curriculum was created to address bullying. However, the curriculum, once you review it, it realizes an agenda to indoctrinate young elementary school children in beliefs contrary to those of many of their parents. It seeks to introduce gender identity, homosexual marriage, and stereotyping issues to children in the elementary school environment. The Welcoming Schools website says that the curriculum gives specific and explicit attention to family diversity, and it addresses anti-gay bias within discussions of bullying. One example of this is the recommended use of the King and King book. In this book, the message is about bullying. It's not about bullying, but a prince who falls in love with another prince. They get married, share a wedding cake and a kiss. And I can show you the final page of this book. And this is for use in kindergarten through third grade. This is simply intended to indoctrinate young children to accept homosexual marriage. This topic is controversial, and it's not appropriate for an elementary classroom, much less a lesson designed to address bullying. I felt very uncomfortable with the content and did not feel my child, who was not engaging in any bullying behavior himself, needed to learn about alternatives to our family's beliefs as a Muslim family. After bringing up my concerns, I was publicly yelled at and humiliated by the principal at a parent meeting. We had our sidewalk graffitied, and we were called names such as homophobes and gay bashers. So in essence, my family was bullied because of not wanting to have our children participate in these lessons. The advocates for the Welcoming Schools curriculum are the same people promoting this bill. This will simply elevate sexual orientation and gender identity issues at the expense of addressing the bullying of children in our schools for whatever reason. The bill, which requires a training program and process for school officials and parents, will be used to force schools to teach and indoctrinate children into accepting one way of thinking about GLBT issues. It will only take precious time and money away from academic concerns, and it divides our communities rather than brings us together.
Thank you very much. Any questions that committee members have?
Thank you.
Thank you. Is it Deneen Flomo? I'm sure I didn't pronounce your name correctly, but please give your name for the record.
It's Deanne Flomo.
Deanne, okay.
Okay. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for allowing me to tell my testimony. Again, my name is Deanne Flomo, and I'm also a parent of four children. Two of them are elementary age kids at Hale School in Minneapolis. And I'm also against, I'm for safe schools, and I heard the testimonies of the students last Tuesday, and, you know, my heart goes out for them because I know this is a big issue and, you know, something that needs to be addressed. But, and I believe that all people should be treated with respect no matter who they are or where they come from. So I am totally for everyone being treated with respect. My concern regarding this bill grows out of my experience at Hale Elementary just with the anti-bullying curriculum. And I believe the underlying motivation for this curriculum is indoctrination of young children with age-inappropriate material regarding sexual orientation as opposed to addressing all bullying of children. And that's really my concern. And the GLBT groups which are promoting this bill, I believe, seek to promote redefining marriage, mm-hmm. alternative gender identities, and affirmation of homosexuality, not just eliminating bullying. So, again, this is my true concern. At Hale, the principal decided to pilot this GLBT welcoming school curriculum under the disguise of anti-bullying. Even though its goal is to promote the acceptance among elementary school children of homosexuality, alternative gender identities, and defining the family. To me, this curriculum moves way beyond stopping bullying behavior to indoctrinating children as young as age 5 and 6 years old. And to me, this is an unhealthy approach. And just what I learned from this whole experience of what we went through with at Hale School is how our community became divided. Rather than bring people together, it drives us further apart. And parents who have voiced their concern have been subjected to bullying themselves from the principal and from other parents. And we've been called gay bashers, haters, and homophobic. So I believe SF 971, the bill before the legislature, can't talk, will only divide schools across our state rather than bring us together and truly address the problems of bullying. The group supportive of SF 971 are also supporters of the GLBT bullying curriculum at Hale. They seek to promote GLBT positions regarding family structure, gender identities, and homosexuality. Minnesota's current law clearly states that intimidation and all forms of bullying of any student is prohibited. We don't need a new law merely to elevate and promote GLBT issues, which go way beyond addressing bullying in our schools. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate that the discussion in schools around bullying creates more bullying. Senator Dibble, did you have any amendments?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I would like to request that the committee take out
Senator Wieger might be able to help you.
Okay. Senator Wieger could make this, offer this amendment. So we have language on that starts on line 2.10, goes through 2.12. Which reads, the board of directors of a school district shall develop and maintain a system to collect harassment, et cetera, data. And then, Mr. Chair, if you recall, we had added a sentence to that last week. And so if we could take out both of those sentences.
Senator,
Mr. Chair, I don't believe we have an amendment on that prepared.
Okay.
So
right. I'm offering that as an oral amendment.
Senator Dibble, do you want to repeat what you were just saying?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would offer an amendment to delete on lines 2.10 through 2.12 the sentence that begins the board of directors, as well as starting on 2.12 the sentence that we added at the last hearing that, well, exactly how that, I didn't write it down verbatim, has to do with using an existing data collection system. So we can take both of those sentences out.
All right, Senator Wieger moves that on lines 2.10, beginning with the board, the sentence that follows and then the sentence that was added be deleted. Any discussion on that? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same sign. Motion is adopted. Senator Wieger?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I have four amendments. Some of them are technical, and they can all be distributed at once if that would expedite things. And I believe the author is aware of them.
Okay.
I'll wait briefly as they're being passed out. And I will go first to the A2 amendment. And, Mr. Chair, members, this as it's being distributed, it's very direct. It makes clear, you know, this addresses public schools, and charter schools are public schools, and it says that charter schools would be included in this act. And that's the intent of the A2. The A2 amendment, and I believe they're being distributed right now. Again, four amendments are being distributed. We're on the A2.
Okay. Senator Wieger moves the A2 amendment, which is hopefully handed out. Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, what in the current law, what is 121A.04?
Senate counsel.
Mr. Chair and Senator Olson, I looked that up. I believe it is sexual discrimination and extracurricular activities. And so this, Mr. Chair, goes into the charter school law statute and includes that 121A03 is another law that charter school is subject to.
So, Mr. Chairman, that...
No. Senator Olson?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry. I was thinking out loud, and I need not.
Okay, Senator Wieger?
I would renew my motion.
Okay, Senator Wieger moves that the A2 amendment.
Oh, Mr. Chair, I don't think I've seen the A2. I have the A3 and the A4.
Senator Dibble?
Okay. Okay, thanks. Seems like a reasonable amendment to defer to the wishes of the committee.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if there's anybody here that's involved with charter schools. It would be interesting to note whether I've never heard any discussion about whether there's the same level and incidence of bullying type behavior in charter schools as there is in our regular public schools. Does anybody have any clue as to whether there is?
Is there anyone here that wants to speak to this amendment? Not, doesn't look like it.
And Mr. Chair, I would just briefly state that the charter schools shouldn't be immune from this type of responsibility, and these actions occur at all schools, varying degrees.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson. Mr. Chairman, I don't have any problem with policy relative to bullying. I have some concern if this bill passes as it is, and this is the vehicle for making that change.
Okay, Senator Clark.
Mr. Chair, Senator Wieger, in looking at this, I believe your intent here is that we are saying, would be saying that bullying should not exist anywhere in Minnesota, and because the public schools are within our domain, we're saying it shouldn't matter whether it's a regular public school or a charter school, that we're saying we want to work towards elimination of bullying wherever it might be.
Mr. Chair, exactly.
Senator.
Thank you. I support your amendment.
Senator Wieger moves the A2 amendment. Any other questions or discussion? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Amendment is adopted. Senator Wieger.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the A1 amendment. And the A1 amendment addresses hazing. Currently, state statute prohibits such practice, which is creating a substantial risk or harm to a person in order for a student to be initiated into an affiliated student organization. It was recommended by Professor Walter Roberts, who is a national authority on bullying, and he's testified before. He wasn't able to be here in committee. He suggested that we, in codifying this, include the reference to hazing in this section of statute. So it does not change the law. It just places it in this section.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Clark.
So a question I would have, when I was in high school and got inducted into the National Honor Society, they woke us up early with our parents' permission, kidnapped us, and put eggs on our heads with a little egg carton, and we were supposed to wear that all day. Would that be considered hazing, or is that fall outside of that?
Senator Wieger.
Mr. Chair, Senator Clark, I don't believe that's substantial risk of harm. It might
just that I'd ask
a question, but
yes, I think one of the challenges I think our schools and our extracurricular activities often fall into is kind of where does the line go? I mean, obviously, I think all of us can think of things that happen in colleges that are incredibly inappropriate even on a college level. But just, kind of where it moves, I'm assuming that somewhere there is some peer pressure involved in that, and so that's the reason why I raised the question. I know that some of you like the thought of me having an egg on my head. But
Senator Wieger, can you explain substantial? Senator Wieger.
Mr. Chair, I believe that would be a case-by-case determination based on, you know, the weight of the evidence, a significant impact. I think the principal, we have a lot of principals here today that might, you know, weigh a situation as to whether there was a substantial, significant risk of harm. I think you apply common sense ultimately, but this was done in response to some very serious consequences that were done to students. We are not changing the law in this amendment. We're just putting it in this section where we're talking about students at risk and trying to send a strong message. It was recommended by Professor Roberts and others that we just realign the language, which does not change in this section.
Senator Hand first.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just wondering why this is needed. Do we have school districts that have policies that permit hazing right now, or is it being done in places where it is not being addressed? I'm really wondering why we – I mean, we could start listing all kinds of things that we don't like and don't want to have done. I could come up with a list of 100 things. Are we going to do that?
We have someone from the School Boards Association that Mr. Kirkschneider.
Mr. Chair, my name is Kirk Schneider. I'm on staff with the Minnesota School Boards Association. And I think as you go down this road, what the act is doing is you would compress three policies into one. So we have a mandatory hazing policy, we have a mandatory anti-bullying policy, and the mandatory harassment and violence policy. So I just want you to be aware of that, and that if we're doing this, you know, what are we leaving some things behind as we go along here? And so, you know, this is the first time I've seen the amendment, so I'm not sure what the total impact would be on that, but I'm sure there would be.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Schneider, last week when we had this bill, I think it was Mr. Aronson who made some comment about the differences between the different sections of the law, and he spoke to a danger of combining them, and it would create, in some cases, actionable circumstances for things that are currently not actionable in a lawsuit. Could you talk about that? Is that something that we're also doing here by conflating these things together?
Mr. Schneider?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, I don't want to throw Mr. Aronson on the stand here, but I think it would be better if he could contribute to that. I think that he's understands that issue a little bit better than I do.
Mr. Aronson?
Well, he's coming, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
Could you identify what the sections are that are being repealed in this amendment?
Yes.
Mr. Chair and Senator Olson, the 121A0695 is the model policy on bullying that was repealed in the original version of 971. And 121A69 is hazing policy.
Thank you.
Mr. Aronson.
Mr. Chairman, members, Roger Aronson. I represent the Elementary Principals Association and the Secondary Principals Association. What Senator Hahn is accurately stating is that the current statute that we have on sexual, religious, and racial harassment has a direct connection to 363A, which gives cause for litigation, because those are forms of recognized discrimination. And hazing isn't in 363A, and some of the other categories that are in the proposed bill aren't in 363A. And that's why we thought it made a nice separation of those two in the school policies. They divide out well that way. And Senator Hand's question is a very legitimate one of, when you do this cross-reference or changing that 363A interplay, what is the impact of that? We're not really sure. We're pretty sure how the current law works and what is actionable. Sexual harassment gives rise to a cause of action. Racial discrimination gives rise to a cause of action, as does religious. But harassment or bullying doesn't. And so there are some concerns about and bullying and intimidation. I can see where there's a sense of combining all policies in one set. But we, as I indicated last week, we have a lot of mandatory policies out there, and we're real good at putting these together and working them out with people.
Senator Hand.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm concerned about the direction of this. It seems to me that we already have policies. We adopted these not long ago, as I recall, that, as we pointed out the last time, prohibit intimidation, bullying of any student in all forms, which is pretty inclusive. And the concern that I have is that by going down this path that we are potentially creating a legal minefield for our schools that are going to create what could be termed relatively minor instances of students picking on other students in ways that are certainly unkind, but could lead to lawsuits. And I'm just saying, is that what we want to do? Do we want to create this circumstance where you have almost anything that goes on between students would become potentially a legally actionable item in the courts for schools? And what kind of cost and burden does that put on schools in terms of defending those things? I don't know what's wrong with the current policy. It's very inclusive. I don't think there's anything that's left out. And why do we need to start listing everything we can think of and include it by name in this policy and run that hazard?
Hey, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I won't respond directly to Senator Hand's enumeration argument. I think we've had that discussion already. I might address it at the end. I would disagree with Mr. Aronson when he says we do a good job of sorting it out and having these separate policies. I think that's exactly why the bill is in front of you. I don't think the school boards do a good job, and that's the problem. With respect to the issue of lawsuits, if school boards did do a good job, we would be avoiding lawsuits, the likes of which we've had a number of in Minnesota, and schools have had to settle for some significant sums of money. So school boards adopting good, strong policies and doing the follow-up communication and work that needs to be done to deal with this issue will help them to avoid lawsuits. Finally, with respect to hazing, again, I was aware that Senator Rieger was going to bring this forward. I think his goal is to respond to Mr. Roberts' critique that you may or may not have seen in his letter. Hazing is a somewhat separate issue, but a significant issue of concern, in terms of how students are treated and the harm that they might suffer as a consequence of hazing at the hands of their peers. So, there is some logic to maybe wrapping those policies all together into a single policy, but at the same time, I will defer to the judgment of the committee. It is a slightly separate issue than the one that we are dealing with in this bill.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this is gaining some clarity of Mr. Aronson's earlier testimony about this combination, which the Senator Wieger's amendment now does pull the hazing policy, which I thought we already had. We did have statute, but you're repealing that to combine it with this, along with the repealing of our current bullying policy and putting it with this expanded definition. But I appreciated Mr. Aronson's clarification that the section of law that Senator Dibble's bill is amending is actually linked to the human rights statute, and that is what gives them actionable possibilities for actions that are under this policy that are infractions on it within the school. So why would we want to confuse that? But the other thought that I have here too is Senator Dibble, Mr. Chairman, and Senator Dibble, what kind of research or backing do you have that somehow this change is going to bring about a change of this reduced harassment and bullying in the schools? We pass things all the time. Just passing a policy isn't going to change the behavior. It means that the schools have gone on record with a particular policy, but it doesn't necessarily translate to things that are effective in actually bringing about the behavior change.
So, Mr. Chair,
part of our problem.
May I respectfully raise a point of order? If we could,
Senator Wieger,
if we could focus on the amendment on hazing. We're not changing law, and on the underlying bill before us, I think we've had that discussion, and we can continue that at close. But this is focused on hazing.
But Mr. Chairman,
Senator Olson,
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wieger, you're trying to bring hazing under the same provisions in this law. instead of it being a separate policy. So I think that it is an appropriate comment in relation to it. But if you don't want to answer it and consider it rhetorical, I just would state that I don't know that somehow this either the combination or the amplification within the total bill is going to bring about the desired results.
Mr. Chairman. We are on the A1 amendment. Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, Senator Wieger, is it your intention to make hazing an actionable item in the law by bringing it into the statute? And is that not a concern, the points that Mr. Aronson has raised, that by bringing it into this section of law, you do create that circumstance where people can then sue about things that they, at this point, are not in that part of the law? Is that a concern of yours?
Who is that directed to?
Senator Wieger.
Senator Wieger.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hahn, students have an expectation when they enter the school door that there will be a nurturing, caring, respectful environment. To the extent we do not live up to that, we have statutes in place saying what we value, and we encourage there to be and mandate that there be policies. To the extent a policy is broken, there should be a remedy.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hahn.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wieger, you've already said, and I agree with you, we have this statute that says you can't haze. It's already in law. And so the only point of moving it to this section would be, seem to me, to create an avenue for action.
Let me ask a question. When you look at the lines 1.15 through 1.17, what is the connection between the legislation that we have before us by having that struck? Where is the connection to the human rights statute, Senator Anderson?
Well, Mr. Chair, I think you're making the point I was going to make. There's nothing in Senator Dibble's bill or in Senator Wieger's amendment that gives you a right to sue anybody. It's not actionable. That's just a red herring. And it's striking any reference to 363A. And so I think it makes it less likely that this policy is related to the Human Rights Act. It's much broader. There's a long established set of legal interpretation of what our human rights laws cover and what discrimination is, and this doesn't change that. And I think we're just sort of throwing out some scare tactics. That's not what this is about. It's a common sense thing. Why would we want our school districts and our parents and the public to have to look in 10 different places to figure out what the rules are on how what happens to kids and what keeps their environment at their school safe? And so I think we should just have it all in one place. And it's far broader than our human rights law. And it doesn't just cover classes that are protected by Constitution or statute in 363. It covers a wider range of behaviors because that's what we want to do to make our kids safe. And so I think it's a really simple issue, and I think we're overcomplicating with this discussion.
All right. Is there anyone that wants to comment on this? We have the A1 amendment before us. Senator Wieger moves that. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion is adopted.
Mr. Chair, I offer the A3 amendment. At page 2, we would delete lines 16 and 17. And that line says the commissioner shall review the policies for compliance and make them available to the public upon request. That expectation of the commissioner is deleted in order to avoid cost of fiscal impact.
Senator Wieger moves the A3 amendment. Can I ask someone from the MSBA, are the policies that you have now reported to the commissioner?
Mr. Chair, my name is Tom Deans. I'm legal counsel of the School Board Association. The harassment, the current sexual, religious, and racial harassment policy was reported to the commissioner at the time that it was adopted. The commissioner adopted our policy that we had prepared because the legislature did this the same way, said the commissioner had come up with a model, and they didn't have anybody that knew how to do that. So we came up with the model. They adopted it. Our model says that it was approved. We don't necessarily report the rest of our policies to the commissioner unless there's a statute that specifically requests it. You know, the statute says that we have to adopt it, the people adopt it. But we did have to report that one, the sexual, religious, and racial one, that whatever they did adopt, they had to report, and that was several years ago.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Senator Weaver. Is the amendment, the A3 amendment, the reason for deleting that is that it just, the commissioner would have to have the policies of each individual district?
Mr. Chair, I believe the intent was that by having the proposal in the way it is now, it would trigger a cost to the department, and then we would have to book that cost. And with the revenue situation, we saw that as a red flag.
All right, Senator Dibble, did you?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm comfortable with this amendment. Ideally, the commissioner would do this. This particular provision came about as a result of our attempt to work with the Department of Education to find out who's doing what and where are they doing it, and there was no follow through with school districts on their obligations with respect to existing statutes, and it was frustrating because it felt like the law did provide for the commissioner of the Department of Education to have some follow through, but they had simply delegated that task to School Boards Association. We really couldn't find out any information from them on who had adopted. So when we undertook the effort to go district to district, found out, you know, fully 93% of the districts weren't really in compliance with the provisions of the Human Rights Act, and most over 90% weren't protecting all kinds of kids in their policies. But nevertheless, that being said, I'm all for removing costs and reducing the level of heartburn around anything that we're trying to do this year. That's why we took out the data collection piece as well. So I support this amendment.
Mr. Deans, so currently the school districts do submit a copy to the commissioner.
Mr. Chair, the school boards submit a copy of their sexual, religious, and racial harassment policy, and they all had to adopt that a number of years ago. I can't remember how many, maybe 10. They did it. They sent them in, and that was the end of that. We don't send in all the rest of them. The legislature has adopted maybe 20 or 30 mandatory policies. You know, and in the MSBA policy service, we've got about 150 policies or more that districts adopt. I mean, it's a big book. This is not an inconsequential or a small task. But we think we do an excellent job on this, and the ones that are mandatory, we make available to all our members. And but I don't know whether you believe that they need to be submitted to the commissioner or not. That I guess I don't know what the commissioner does with these. It kind of reminds me when we used to have the stuff where we asked Farley Bright one time, who was the deputy commissioner, well, what do you do with all this stuff? And he said, well, we put it in a box in the basement.
Mr. Chair,
whatever they do.
The language, if you read it, that we're deleting, it's says make them available to the public upon request. That's exactly the problem that we ran into. Perhaps they'd been submitted, but they were in a box in the basement or something. We couldn't get any information from the Department of Education, so they weren't able to follow through on school districts' obligation to fulfill these policies. But nevertheless, I support the amendment. Let's just take it out, and we'll, you know, maybe we can come back another day when we're flush, when our ship comes in, and you know, make sure that the school districts are following through on their obligation to take care of kids and make them safe.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Deans. I wanted just to inquire of you. I don't think you were here the other day when we were talking about this bill, but we had testimony at that point saying that there are lots of school districts that don't have policies, and that's why we need to make this change, that they haven't been complying with the mandatory policy. Do you know of any school districts that do not have policies with respect to the bullying and the hazing and the other things that as I understand are mandatory? Are there districts that don't have them in the form that is required by law?
Mr. Deans?
Mr. Chair, I honestly can't answer that question. I know that they are told that they're mandatory. They are provided with a copy of a model policy that will comply with the law. Many of them adopt those policies, blanks and all, when they get them, and they have them there. But I can't promise you that 100% are. But I would also suggest to you that a claim that there's huge numbers of districts that haven't followed through on this, I believe, are incorrect. I believe that they have adopted the policies.
Well, and Mr. Chairman, I just would like the record to reflect that we have not heard, at my knowledge, any testimony that any school district does not have these policies that are already mandated in law. That I have not heard anybody say, here's a district that doesn't have it. So as far as we know, every school district has these mandatory policies in place today.
Senator Terezre.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the author's graciousness in trying to remove this language, but that is precisely the problem we have, Senator.
It's not my amendment.
We do not ask the department to collect information, since they don't collect reports, the reports are in the box, the policies are in the basement, we're never going to be able to really know really, if we have reports and how many reports and where they are and what happens to kids. So there will be no response to you, Senator Hand. There will be no response to you, Senator Olson, who asked for this. And I would like us to really act on this. My sense is that we devoted about an hour and a half of our discussion last time on this bill. It's about an hour and a half now, an hour now. Mr. Chairman, with all due respect, we have about 8 bills in our agenda. Mm-hmm. We need to move this bill. I don't believe that Senator Dibble is going to be able to provide any more information at this point that will change our minds. I think we know how we're going to vote on this. And many of us are not going to have a hearing on our bills in your committee, in this committee, because we run out of time. And so I really would appreciate if we could move this, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Point well taken.
Can I make a point? There are many of us who don't get any bills heard in this committee. And I think that if we're going to have bills and they're controversial, we ought to have them heard, and people who have things to say need to be able to say them. And so I don't think we ought to just say, let's close down the debate and pass the bills, unless you just don't want to have debate, which we think some of us don't get the opportunity to bring our own bills here. So let's continue until we're done.
All right. We think we're ready to vote on this amendment. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion is adopted.
Mr. Chair, in the interest of time, I'll wait on the A4 and another step in the journey.
Okay. Anyone else has amendments? Senator Anderson.
Oh, Mr. Chair, would you like a motion on the bill, to move the bill?
Okay, Senator Anderson. before we take that motion, is there anyone else that wants to testify or...
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dibble.
We have a teacher from Apple Valley who is here to speak in support, but in the interest of time, we will not. Edmund was going to come forward and again express their support, but we will also not call him to the table.
Senator Hand.
Before we act, I just wanted to ask a question, maybe counsel, and I may have missed this, but where do we have in statute the definition of the word intimidate? And bullying. Yeah. Where is that definition?
Senate counsel is looking. one point that I We didn't talk about, I don't think, at least I can't remember, is the actual effective date of this is in the middle of a school year. And I think that if we want to, I think it would be most appropriate to have it begin at the beginning of a school year. So,
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Nauman.
With respect to the committee's interest in time, I hear your concern about that, and I believe the A4 amendment actually dealt with that issue.
Okay. All right.
So if you, but that was not considered. Senator Wieger held off on that. So.
Senator Dibble, I think if this bill makes, you know, does become law, it would be appropriate that it would begin at the beginning of a school year and rather than the middle. So,
Mr. Chair, you and I had spoken about that, and I just spoke with Ms. Kelleher about that as well. I agree with that. So can make that change now or on the floor or working out in conference.
That's not a controversial amendment.
Why don't we just move it?
Mr. Chairman, I move the A4 amendment.
But you need to.
You're a speedy chair. It's good. I like that.
Mr. Chair and members, regarding the definitions.
Ms. McQuay.
The definitions throughout statute on these three statutory provisions of the bullying and the harassment and the hazing, the only definitions considered are hazing and student organizations. The statute does not reference any particular definitions to intimidation.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hamm.
I think that there ought to be a definition of that word since we're making this policy, and I don't know if there's a specific definition of bullying either, but if we have these things listed, they should be defined. I think a word like intimidation is fairly broad. One person's intimidation is another person's free speech. We talked about we're not interested in creating necessary actions for people to sue each other. We now have a policy that is going to potentially allow that. We ought to know what it means. There should be some definition somewhere.
This line.
If there isn't one, then I would move that we lay this on the table until such time as we have one.
Ma'am, I can do it.
On the date?
Mr. Chairman, I think in the interest of avoiding some of the controversy that may be inherent in the A4 amendment, I'll just call members' attentions to two lines on the A4 amendment. It was handed out, Senator Bonner. I think what we're looking at would be line 1.2, which would delete the by January 1st, 2010, A, and insert an uppercase A. And then on line 1.6, which is the effective date, page 2, line 18, delete January 1st, 2010, and insert the day following final enactment. And then with one addition, Senator Wieger, I presume that you wanted to add this additional language. So after enactment, add the following language. And applies to the 2009 through 2010 school year and later. So that would be the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dibble.
I think that's actually a little too aggressive. School boards were perhaps looking to start have this ready for the start of school year next year, 2000. So maybe we could go with July 1st, 2010, or some such.
And applies to the 2010 through 2011 school year? Would that be appropriate, Mr. Deans? Okay, so on line 1.7, it would say enactment and applies to the 2010 through 2011 school year and later.
Okay, on that amendment, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same sign. Motion is adopted. Senator Hand.
Mr. Chairman, just going back to my question about the definition, is there no interest in the part of the committee to define that term if it is not defined right now? It seems to be a fairly significant category that we've created, and I think it should be defined somewhere.
Senator Clark.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, I think of several of these words that you'd look to the plain language. I mean, Senator Bonhoff was saying to me, dictionaries are pretty consistent on what those are. So the courts, obviously, if there were, and again, I think Senator Anderson said it best, this isn't about cause of action, but there are pretty straightforward understandings of that. So I think that if we define everything in statute, that means we may have two different understandings of what words mean. And part of the reason why we are using words like this is because there are understanding out there.
Well, and Mr. Chairman and Senator Clark, I would disagree that I think that the word intimidation has a great variety of meaning. And part of the problem may be is that someone understands a certain action as being intimidating. Is that up to that person to decide? If I feel intimidated, do I have relief under this policy, or does some objective criteria have to be met before I am truly intimidated? And otherwise, what does it mean? Does it mean that anything that I don't like, I can claim to be an intimidation to me? That, to me, is an important word that should have some specificity to it if we're going to have a mandatory policy that says you have to protect or give relief against this activity, but we're not going to define what it is.
Okay, we are, there's no further amendments. We are ready to take action.
I move the bill as amended and that it be re-referred to judiciary.
The floor, Mr. Chair.
Hazing. To the floor.
There's a bill right here that says what hazing
means. You want to?
Mr. Germain, St. Germain is for the next bill.
Okay. On the Senate file 971 as amendment, and it would be sent to the floor. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion is adopted. Thank you, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Moving on, hopefully quickly, Senate file 1076 is kind of a variation on a theme. This bill comes to me from Representative Sandra Peterson in the House, and it's an effort, Mr. Chair, to create some action around occasions of harassment and intimidation. Now, of course, this is contained in 128.0695, so at some point we'll have to reconcile the bill we just heard with this bill, because, of course, my bill repeals 121A.0695. It would be my intent, Mr. Chair, to, if this is an idea that the committee agrees makes sense, to somehow figure out how to wrap this provision into the chapter of statute that would survive. Mr. Chair, what this seeks to do is to require that when a student is found to be bullying another student, that their parents be advised and involved somehow, with the goal of creating some remedy to the involving the family, creating some remedy to bullying when it occurs. I do have an amendment very quickly to request. It's an oral amendment, just changing one word on line 11 to change the word staff to the word administration. This would conform to the House language.
Senator Wieger moves on line 11, 1.11, to delete staff and insert administration. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion is adopted. Senator Dibble.
And Mr. Chair, the school boards have pointed out we have the same effective date issue on this bill.
We will take care of that if this goes ahead. Okay. Mr. Germain, St. Germain.
Yes, Mr. This is David St. Germain, who is an educator and also has worked for quite a while in this field of trying to address bullying, intimidation, harassment, and violence in schools.
Please go ahead. Give your name for the record.
David St. Germain. Mr. Chair, I retired from teaching after 33 years as a secondary English and communications teacher. From my background, I believe that bullying is the number one problem facing Minnesota schools. Many of us see the big kid at third grade recess as the bully. That's just the tip of the iceberg. An environment of bullying exists in all of our schools. For some students, it's an occasional problem. For many more, it happens with more frequency and intensity, and those memories stay with them their whole lives. And for the last group, bullying at school is a reality that many kids refer to as the daily war zone, with soul-scarring results. The bullying environment in some of our schools is stunning. There are thousands of Minnesota elementary, middle school, and high school students who daily, hourly, moment by moment, fear peers in classrooms, hallways, locker rooms, recess, you name the place, because of bullying behaviors. Many of us in this room don't understand the depth of the problem because we didn't experience the level of intimidation that many students repeatedly experience in our schools on a daily basis. Many of us weren't on the receiving end much, and if we were bullied, we were able to deflect it, ignore it, and so don't understand it as well as we might. Some of us in this room may have lived a charmed life and aren't aware of the fact that we did. You don't know real pain until your child experiences it. The proposed wording and change 1076 does not alter the existing school district's policies or procedures regarding bullying. The only change regards parent notification. Whatever the school district policies exist right now regarding bullying remain unchanged. This change reinforces the local control that was captured in the current statute. It is only one small part of the 12-part Vermont National Model Law or the MSBA policy model. I believe the goal of the existing statute is to decrease bullying in our schools. I think that all of us in this room, whether we're independents, Republicans, Democrats, principals, teachers, lobbyists, parents, or students, would say it's essential to make our schools a physically and emotionally safe place as we can for all of our young people to learn. Safety is the number one goal for successful learning. It is difficult to learn if you are frightened or fearful. Safety is the most important precondition that needs to be established before learning can begin. Creating a safe place is, I believe, the most important job we as educators have in a school building or classroom. I contacted a number of principals with whom I have worked over the years and asked them for their reaction to 1076, and then asked them to send me positive and challenging responses they received when they called the parents of bullying. Here's a sample of what they reported. The positive responses from parents: thank you for letting me know. We're working on this at home too. Do you have any suggestions on what we could do? We'll follow up with a consequence at home also. We expect our child to take responsibility for their actions. Please call me if there are any other problems that you have. Thanks for calling. That's the kind of response we want to hear as educators, but that's not what we always get. The challenging responses I heard from these principals was, I told him if someone hits him, hit him back. I teach my kid to stand up for herself. I know he bullies his way around the house too. I can't do anything about it here. Good luck. That's why I pay taxes, so I don't have to deal with him during the day. He's your problem. Kids just need to toughen up. When we were growing up, we took care of our problems in the parking lot. Now students don't know how to stand up for themselves. We don't tolerate physical violence in our house. He's going to get a beating when he gets home. No one looks forward to having a conversation with somebody who is potentially going to be a bigger and more mature version of the child bully. But it's vital that somebody does if we want the behavior to change. 1076 does not stop teachers or support staff from contacting the parents of bullies. Rather, it ensures that the instructional leader of the building, the principal, will consistently be informing parents or guardians about the behavior of their child. We need to do everything we can to involve the parents or guardians in the problem and the solution. Bullying is a learned behavior. It can be unlearned. As a parent of three children, I wouldn't look forward to a call or note about my child's bullying behavior, but I would want to know so I could help my child be more successful at school. The 1076 change is intended to help the bully as much as it is to help the victim. One principal told me about the 1076 wording change. As a principal, I don't like to be told what to do. I know I don't call as much as I should. I like to think I deal with all of it, but the truth is I sometimes find excuses not to call. So I understand the reason for the change. We were told in the last hearing by the Principals Association that there were principals who sent emails about opposition to a bill like this. I would respectively suggest that any principal who opposes the wording change should invite the students' parents in their building in for a parent meeting and share the reasons that the principal opposes the change with those parents. If the principal had any doubts about the level of concern and intensity behind this issue, a parent meeting of this kind would clearly remove any doubt. This is a major educational crisis in our schools. It has been reported in the media that the Principals Association has also said this statute addition would result in micromanaging an increased workload of Minnesota principals. The Principals Association told us previously that the current system is working well. Maybe they should also be invited to that same parent meeting that I spoke about earlier. If it is true that the majority of principals are currently notifying most of the parents about this issue, then the uniformity asked for in 1076 would not be an imposition to the majority of principals who are currently performing parent notification. It would mean that 1076 could be accomplished without much effort and would be consistent across the state. The concern I have with the MSBA model policy is that it's a cafeteria plan. You can fill your plate or go without. We just don't know what the plates look like. That model policy is voluntary or optional, while being bullied is not a choice for the victim. 1076 makes the current statute come alive and out of an administrative desk drawer by assuring that an administrator will, at the very least, notify the parents or guardians of a student who intimidates or bullies another student. This is not a partisan bill. There is no right or wrong, liberal or conservative side to this proposal. I have not found any Democrat, Republican, independent, teacher, support staff, parent, or colleague who has said to me, please don't contact the parents of a bully about their child's behavior. On the contrary, the reaction of the parents, educators, and public that I have talked to has been, I'm glad that we're finally doing something about the problem. This is a simple wording change in the existing statute. It does not impose any penalties on administrators for noncompliance, just like the law doesn't. There is no enforcement mechanism in the law. It maximizes local control. It simply says the parents of bullies will be notified about their child's behavior, period. Nothing else changes in the school district policy. The change is elegant in its simplicity and potential impact on the crisis of bullying in Minnesota schools. 1076 is the first incremental step in changing bullying reality for our students. This is not a silver bullet or a cure-all for student-to-student bullying. We can never eliminate all bullying that occurs in school. This is an important and meaningful first step in activating or moving a policy off of a piece of paper and at least ensuring that the parents of bullies will be notified about the behavior of their child based on the existing policies decided upon by that district. It simply requires notification and hopefully involvement of the parent. If you are doubtful about the impact of bullying, walk into any school in your district at lunchtime. Sit down at a table of students and ask the students there about the extent of bullying that they have experienced in their school. It will be an enlightening and sobering conversation. When you have finished the conversation, look around the lunchroom for a table with only a few students that appear quiet, shy, perhaps sullen, that seem to be keeping to themselves. Approach them and ask them, "How do you like school?" Then ask them how safe they feel in their classes or in the halls or at recess or as a participant in an extracurricular activity. Your conversation with these students will remove any doubts you had about the reality of harassment in our schools. It will be a conversation that you will never forget. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Green. We have also Mr. Aronson.
Mr. Chairman and members, my name is Roger Ernst, and I represent the Minnesota Elementary School Principals Association and the Secondary School Principals Association. A couple months ago, we decided to have a day at the Capitol for some of our leadership, and so we happened to have 15 members of the Elementary and Secondary Principals Association sitting over here today from around the state of Minnesota. I mean, we have people from Duluth, we have people from Laverne, some people from western Minnesota are sandbagging and aren't here, but Minneapolis, St. Paul as well, and members from your districts, but it just happens that this matter is here before you this day when they're here. And this bill doesn't do anywhere near as much as the last bill that you heard. The teachers came in and objected with the author, apparently, that it might require them to call parents in every instance of bullying that they saw. And so it's been amended to just say that the administrators are going to make all of these phone calls in every case. Two things about this. One is, on very serious matters, as I mentioned last week on suspension, state law requires us that we notify parents both in writing and that we call them as well that their child is being suspended as the result of some form of misconduct, and sometimes that includes bullying. And as I indicated to the committee last week, and by the way, as I said, there's 65,000 of those annually in Minnesota now. I mean, we know on the top end that we're making those contacts. When you roll that back, and there's an awful lot of discipline that occurs in the schools that doesn't result in suspension, the principals are calling parents on those matters as well as a regular occurrence. And I found this in response to the emails that I sent out about bullying, where the principals say, we contact parents on these bullying matters when we think it's appropriate. I think it was nicely pointed out that the definition of bullying and intimidation is kind of flexible, to put it kindly, and principals work on student behavior every day. Sometimes these matters get resolved in the classroom, and we shouldn't have a mandate that you have to make a phone call in that particular circumstance. Sometimes they're resolved in the lunchroom, on the playground, in the hallway, and then they're closed up and they're gone. They happen that quickly, and they are learning experiences. What we would say is this. This is a well-intentioned idea. Parental involvement is very important in these matters, but don't mandate it. Don't say that we have to call every single time. Give us the discretion. And again, I beg to differ with those who say and suggest that we're not doing a good job in schools. This group here and the teachers and their colleagues aspire to this every day. There's an awful lot of positive stuff that happens out there, but it is a challenge every day. But this particular bill isn't going to help us. It's basically going to create, I think, more of a mandate and a time that we could use doing other things, Mr. Chairman. Let me answer any questions you might have.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Aronson, Mr. St. Germain made some interesting statements, talking about our schools as really being a war zone now. Is that how your principals see it? And what kinds of, I'm interested, he also shared some responses that I could, you know, you can envision the responses from parents who were notified, so that if a parent said, you know, we don't stand, don't tolerate any violence in our home, and when he comes home, he's going to get a beating. Would that influence whether a principal might want to report it to them, or if he knows that that's how that family functions? Or I'm not sure how you.
Mr. Chair,
I'm trying to sort in my mind. And he also made the statement that in an earlier generation, it hasn't been to the degree that we're having today. What's happened? What's happening? If our schools are a war zone, and maybe we're going to have a different kind of policy altogether in dealing with schools if this is what every students are having to put up with day in and day out.
Mr. Chair and Senator Olson, I know that the hour is getting late on this, and let me say, our schools are not war zones. That is overstating the case, and that's not someone who's working in our schools right now. We have over 800,000 kids in Minnesota public schools. We have to account for every one of them every day, and we do an awfully good job of it. You hit it on the head when you say these people know when a child behaves in a particular way, that sometimes that reflects what they've learned at home. And that does influence what the communication is at home from them. They've told me that. I understand that. So I think you're right. I mean, and what your question implies is that these contacts require some discretion. At its core, the relationship at the school is between the principal and the student, between the teacher and the student, and that's what we're working on. The parent is important, but the most important is that relationship between the student and the principal or the teacher or whomever it might be, and we try to work that out in the best interest of the student.
Senator,
that answers that question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Aronson, for your comments. I struggle with this because being on a school board just last year, being a parent of three sons, one who is extremely bullied. He's the one that sits at the table with a few kids, sullen, withdrawn, and struggles daily at school. I don't think this is the answer. I won't say what grade he is because he wouldn't want me to do that. I think an administrator needs to make that call because that on an individual basis. Personally, I would want to see these bullies hung by the clock tower as a parent of a kid who's bullied. That could work against the victims even worse. My son would not want their parents contacted in the grade he's in because it would probably make it worse. And having worked with the principal on that, they know these students. The teachers know these students. They know when it's going to be effective to call and when it's not going to be effective. So I think the mandate isn't appropriate. I also, being in schools almost every day till I came down and spent so much time at the Capitol, I challenge the war zone mentality. I think that there's a lot of great things going on at schools. Yes, this is a huge issue, and it's probably, as a parent of a kid who's bullied, the toughest thing I've ever dealt with emotionally. So it's really tough, but I don't know that these policies are the right, this type of policy is the right way to address it.
Thank you, Senator Fulby. Senator Hand?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to also make the comment, and I came from a school board as well, everybody who has experienced in their child's life bullying, they know it's a terrible thing, and it does happen. I think we do have great policies right now. I think they are widely enforced. And I also want to object to the characterization that the schools are war zones. And I know, in fact, we have student surveys that are done. And sometimes that's a controversy, but that's one of the things we ask about is how do they feel about school? And the characterizations that are being made here about the prevalence and the widespread sort of violence and going on in school just isn't true and isn't borne out by those surveys. So I think it was said by Mr. Aronson, I think there's a good intention here, but I think you need discretion in dealing with this. And I think Senator Fulby pointed out that you need to have people that understand the situation and the families and the kids and do what is right and trust them to do what's right. And to do this kind of a mandate, especially in a year when we're trying to eliminate mandates, really is counterproductive. So I would urge we not pass this bill.
Okay. Senator Dibble?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple things. One is it's important to remember one important fact. A lot of kids who engage in bullying behavior aren't necessarily ogres themselves. They're kids in pain themselves who have very frequently themselves been the target and victim of bullying. And as a consequence, it's what they know, they've been enculturated into, and it's an attempt to to gain some sense of themselves, some sense of control around their environment. So the effort is to really look at these kids as kids who need help, who themselves are in pain, whose parents need to be involved in what's going on. Secondly, we are in no position as adults to say whether or not kids are experiencing the kind of harassment, intimidation, and circumstances, to dismiss it and minimize it. I would say we should ask the kids how they're feeling and what's going on in their lives. We should look at the evidence, the surveys, what's going on with them in terms of really negative consequences in their lives. Kids, I'm, of course, like I said before, most familiar with gay kids. The levels of suicidal ideation and suicide attempts are shocking. And it's coming about as a direct result of the treatment that they're experiencing at the hands of their peers and others, the sense of social isolation. So, I would be really reluctant to simply dismiss and minimize what's going on in kids' lives. We should ask them, look at the evidence, figure out what's going on. The idea that principals know what's going on in their schools teachers know what's going on. To propose that notion to a kid makes most kids laugh. They have no idea. They say the principals and the teachers have no idea what's going on. And even when they see it, they don't recognize it or they don't feel empowered to respond or have the tools to respond. So, you know, I think we should be careful about saying what we know what's going on in our schools. I think we have some pretty strong evidence to the country. Mr. St. Germain had a response to a couple of points.
We do need to move on. We have some other bills to deal with. So, and if this passes, it has to go to the Judiciary Committee, too. So, Mr. St. Germain.
Thank you. The war zone comment, most principals know what that means. It's about the kids' world, not our world. I didn't have a war zone when I went to school. Two of my children didn't. One of my children did. I understand it. Anyone who's working with children understands that. The other comment about suspension, we're not talking about it rising to the level of suspension. There's two worlds here. The low-level inappropriate behavior that happens in a classroom that teachers deal with, and then there's the suspension world over here. We're talking about that middle ground when behavior rises to the level that you send them to the principal because of their bullying. That's where the bullying law kicks into effect. That's what we're talking about. Thank you.
All right. All right, Senator Bonhoff.
Mr. Chair, and I have kept myself from making comments today because we did hear the first bill last committee hearing, and we do have so many bills to cover today. And I had actually planned to offer an amendment to this bill, and I'm not going to do that in the interest of time, but I just want to raise what the thinking was behind the amendment that I'm not offering. because I think it's important that it be discussed. In this particular bill, we say that you should notify the student's parents who is the bully. The thing that I am even more concerned about, actually, is the victim's parents, because when we look at suicide, particularly teen suicide, which is, we know, prevalent right now and on the rise, I think it's often when a student has been bullied and they are ashamed to tell their parents, and so they don't get the help and the counseling to get them through it. And sometimes really just having your parents understand what's happening changes a whole world for a kid. And so my amendment had said that not only the victims, or not only the bully, but the victim's parents should be notified. The other reason why I'm not offering that, it's not just the interest of time, is I understand that's controversial, because in some cases, then a bully is, or a victim is so afraid of their parents being notified that they won't come forward. And in other cases, where it's not a safe environment at home, if you call the parents, that might make it worse. And so I think this is a broader discussion, but I just want to raise it because I think that we are dealing with a situation that has a pretty negative outcome here, that it can lead to teen suicide and some pretty dramatic things for the children in our community.
Senator Terezre.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are lots of things that I would like to say, but in interest of time, I would like to move the bill.
Okay. Senator Clark.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just very briefly, I think Senator Bonhoff's amendment was probably a very good one, and maybe Judiciary will talk about that. But I have to admit, we spend a lot of time in this committee talking about parental responsibility, families, and what parents know. And I think that this is important because I, as a parent, want to know if my child is facing some discipline or if something has happened. And I don't think that's really an additional mandate. It should be happening anyways. And if it's not happening, if that's what we need to do to ensure it to be happening so that we as parents can have control and be working with our children on how to be better citizens, that's an important thing.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't know for sure that it isn't happening, especially when it's appropriate. I guess it's difficult for me to say that this is something that should happen in all circumstances. And we ask our principals to have training in this. We have licensed administrators. They have had training in it. And I think they're much more capable of making that decision than we are here at this table. And to say that this must happen in all circumstances is beyond my comfort level. I think that oftentimes we have to leave that decision to the people who are involved in the circumstances.
Okay. Members, we're ready to vote. And this policy, I believe, is currently in the model policy for the Minnesota School Boards Association. And as this moves forward, the one thing that we didn't deal with would be the effective date, to coincide the effective date with the same as the other one. So Senator Therese Ray moves Senate File 1076 as amended to be passed and re-referred to the Judiciary Committee. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, no.
No. No.
The motion does not prevail.
Division, Mr. Chairman?
Pardon?
Do we have a division?
It does not.
I'm sorry. I thought you said it did. I apologize.
Thank you, Senator Dibble.
Mr. Chair, I would like to call a division. I'm sorry.
Senator Therese Ray calls for a division. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Those opposed? Motion does not prevail on a 7-10 vote. Even with a cold, I think it will still be there. Next, we have Senator Kilosh. Okay. I'm sorry, members, we are going to adjourn and then reconstitute as the Finance Division.